You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Today, I'm delighted to welcome Carl Johan Kallman back to the show. Carl holds a PhD in physical biology from the University of Stockholm. He is the celebrated author of The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness, The Purposeful Universe and Solving the Greatest Mystery of Our Time, The Mayan Calendar. Carl has graciously agreed to return during this unprecedented time of accelerated shifts to share his insights during the ninth wave, which we are in now. There's a lot of ground to cover, so let's welcome Carl back to the show. Hi, Carl. How are you?
Hello. Hi. I'm fine, and I'm happy to be back on the show.
Oh, good, good, good. Well, I just wanted to thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule to be with us again today.
Yes.
Now, everything seems to be accelerating into, I guess what you would say is chaos or novelty. So maybe we can dive right into where we're at today during the ninth wave of universal consciousness.
Yes. Yes, I think it's become dramatically evident, the frequency increase that this ninth wave would bring. And we are now, we've already passed the first day, in other words, the first 18 regular days of this wave. And then we're now at the midpoint of the first night. So there's been 9 days, basically, of this first night. And, you know, I should recollect maybe here the basic structure of the Mayan calendar system.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that's appropriate. Basically, it is like nine waves. These nine waves are shown by the pyramid, which is a metaphor. The nine-storied pyramid is a metaphor for all of evolution, for all of this particular creation. And so when you climb one of these pyramids, you're basically going through nine levels of consciousness. And we're approaching a point where you might say the highest state of the universe is will be attained. And so I don't really like it when people say that the Mayan calendar comes to an end. That's very misleading. I know I sometimes feel forced to use that language as well. But really what it's about is a climb. It's about a culmination. It's about an approach to the highest stage or state that this universe offers us. And there's really no end implied in this, except for in the minds of people, I would say. And that gives the overall background of the Mayan calendar system, that it's nine levels of consciousness, and we are climbing a pyramid, and now we have just started to go into what is the ninth level of consciousness. That's the most basic description. The next thing is to say that each of these levels is developed through a wave. And these waves are created by a sequence of 13 different energies. And in a sense, you may talk about a wave because these energies alternate between periods that you might think about as novelty-generating periods. as creative periods, which are the peaks in the wave. And these are what I'm referring to as days. And the reason I refer to them as days is that this connects the Mayan calendar system to the biblical tradition, which says that God created the world in 7 days and 6 nights. So really what the Mayan calendar outlines is a divine plan. So it's really then a calendar unlike any other calendar. We have become used to think of calendars as things that are physically, materially, astronomically based. Mm-hmm. But this is not what the Mayan calendar is. That's the sort of the opposite of the Mayan calendar. And instead, this is a calendar of the divine plan. It is a calendar of the evolution of consciousness. And that is not subordinated to anything in our local solar system. We're talking about a divine plan, a cosmic plan that pervades the entire universe. And we are just here on our particular planet being affected by these energies as well as all the others, as far as I can understand it. All the other planets and galaxies in the universe, they are synchronistically, simultaneously affected by the same energies of the cosmic plan. So this means that there are 7 pulses of novelty, and alternating with some periods of rest. You may talk then about days and nights. Mm-hmm. But of course, these do not correspond to the regular days and nights. They are mm-hmm. days and nights in the creation sense of it. Okay. And one thing more we should know then is that as you climb the pyramid, from the very bottom level to the highest ninth level, each of these are still developed by 13 energies, and they still have the same wave pattern of days and nights. But these days and nights, they become progressively shorter as you climb the pyramid. And what this means is that the frequency of change, the frequency of the wave, will increase 20-fold every time you climb to a new level. And what this means is now we come to the level that has the highest frequency. And what this means is that more than ever before, will a large number of changes be compressed in a short time period, because that's just the nature of these waves, because the mm-hmm. waves are what is influencing our consciousness and also the creation of the earth and so forth. And so now we come to the ninth wave, the highest level of evolution in the universe, and this is also the level that has the highest frequency of change that we've seen before, ever.
Well, you can certainly see that happening in the world, and it seems as if those of us who are attuning or aligning with these frequencies in order to grow on the inner planes are feeling it even more. And that, the Japanese meltdown was really the beginning of this whole ninth wave. And it seems that in the world at large, that is a metaphor for our own inner life, that things are accelerating at an unprecedented rate.
Now, yes.
If I'm not mistaken, then every day and night, which is an active and passive period, or rest, active and rest period in this ninth wave, will be 20 times more accelerated in frequency?
Yes, compared to the wave that we were in previously, which is the eighth wave, and that one started in early 1999. And in that wave, the days and nights were 360 days long, and now they're down to 18 days long.
So now, are all these different waves starting from the very first one that was 16.4 billion years ago or so, are they all still in their final phases of moving around in the circle or spiral simultaneously with the other ones, or are we just now coming in? Is it just the ninth wave that is affecting humanity's shift in consciousness?
No. Yeah, no, that's a very good question. They are all in operation, but it's I have an analogy for how to look upon these very different waves. You know, there are these kind of songs. There used to be, you know, sometimes you can hear a band playing, and there is there's an AC/DC song called Let There Be Rock. And and basically what it is, you know, these songs, I'm sure you've heard it, is that, you know, the leader of the band says drums, and then the drums start, and, you know, you have the bass drum coming in with a kind of slow, very low frequency rhythm, and then the leader of the band says bass, and then on top of that comes the bass, and you get the, you know, a bass riff and a little bit of a higher frequency than just the bass drum. And then it comes guitar, and then comes a guitar sequence, and so the frequency of change and becomes more obvious, and there is more higher melodious tones coming in, and then eventually the song starts. And this is sort of how the Mayan calendar works, because it's not that, you know, when the song comes in that suddenly the bass drums stop or the rhythm section stop. No, it goes on there. But what happens is that when the song comes in, that's where we put our attention, because that's where the most, what should I say, the most change happens. That's where the action seems to be. And it's exactly the same thing, and I'm glad you brought this up. We're still having these lower waves. They're still there, like the rhythm section, but that's not where the action is. That's well, to some extent, that is where the action is. I mean, still, there is some action in you know, you may have the guitar may come in with a solo at some point, and so so forth. But still, the song is what attracts the thing, and that's what happened now with the ninth wave started exactly with the earthquake in Japan, and so we are putting our attention mostly at those events that are dramatic and at the highest level, you might say, of change. And of course, as you're saying, we're feeling it on a personal level as well. And it's not just sort of physical events that are happening, but in the world of economy, I've heard people that are trying to follow the market and so forth in the face of these dramatic events. They say that there's never been as many cross currents in the world of economics as it is now. It's never been as difficult to sort of analyze intellectually, because we simply don't know what's coming next. All we can say is that we seems to be going into a state of chaos. Based on many, many prophetic traditions, it is from that state of chaos that a new world can be born. That's the only way that a total transformation of our relationships can happen. But then all these cross currents, as the economists would talk about, they are operating also within us. We used to think that, okay, we'll just dance to the slow bass rhythm and so forth, and suddenly comes in this new rhythm, and we just can't just dance to that old rhythm. There is a new rhythm that pulls us in a different direction, and it just becomes tremendously important then for all of us to find some kind of divine guidance in the midst of this that will set us on a path that is right for ourselves, and not only for what is right for ourselves as individuals, but what serves the ultimate result of what on the external level will look like a lot of chaotic events, as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does seem that as these frequencies come in, the higher frequencies are breaking up the old fixed static forms that are decaying and dying, and they have to be broken up for the new to occur. It's like a blackboard full of writing. You have to erase it all so you can start afresh. And there's another analogy I'm wondering about. Could these waves, since music and light play into this too, could they be comparable to missing harmonics? For instance, the octaves that have been missing in our evolution, and that as we get closer to having the full orchestra here showing up on Earth and all over our cosmos, meaning the creator or divine energy, that there will be more harmony that comes out of this destruction since it was missing before?
Yes, I agree with you. Or maybe I should make one qualification, so to speak. Missing, it might sound as that it's been something wrong. But it's meant, they were never meant to be here before, these frequencies. They are meant to come at this point. But otherwise, I perfectly agree with you. This is, I think the ninth wave is different from all the lower waves, because this is the wave that the Creator has designed in order to create harmony, and it may not look like that to us, because we wanted to have our material, convenient, comfortable existence. But I don't.
Right.
But that existence has not been harmonious.
No.
And so now, as you're saying, this new frequency, it just tears it up. It shakes it up, and it's probably the first wave that I believe is truly designed in order to bring harmony and to bring, like, a, you know, it's like coming to the stable, the ninth wave of the ninth level of the pyramid. From there is nowhere to go, and we're not meant to go anything from that point, I think. That's the level where harmony should rule.
Yeah.
And but the world is so off the mark in that regard that it doesn't. I don't think anyone will find this time, what shall I say, convenient or comfortable or something like that. We will all be called, and it's so important here to find the calling for each one of us to serve the bigger whole, not just serve our own lives, but to serve the bigger whole. And so sort of ask the divine, what am I supposed to do to have your plan manifest, rather than just sort of look at what we thought our lives were about and so forth.
Yes, I love what you say about this, because it's really about giving up our growing up and giving up our selfishness and greed and the rest of it, and learning how to become of service to others, and that requires a leap into the collective consciousness and compassion and love for one another, which are other parts of ourselves. And we've been fragmented for so long that, you know, a lot of people I know are asking questions about, well, should I invest in this, and what should I move here, should I do this, well, should I start a career? And I think you point out so clearly that this is a spiritual process of evolution, which is about awakening and not about saving the planet or saving our lives or our possessions. Would you want to elaborate on that just a bit?
No. Well, I don't know if I have much to add.
Oh, okay.
I agree with you.
Okay.
I agree with you, and I think the divine plan will serve those that serve the divine plan. Those that are looking, oh, how can I put my money so that it's safe, will find that there won't be any safety in that sense.
Right.
Safety will be in the faith to the process, in the faith to the divine. That's
yes.
Where that's the only safety, and is to serve that plan. And that will, the serving of the plan will look, you know, I'm not saying that's the same for everyone. It's probably very different, but it has to come from that intent of serving the divine plan, I think, and not from anything else, because mm-hmm. then we very easily will get sidetracked and not be able to surf the wave.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Another thing that you say, which I find it's very profound and very significant, is that this period of time is about shifting into a society of domination and control to one in which no person or soul is over another.
Yep.
And that yes. is something that we haven't ever experienced. We've been born into a system of basically enslavement and abuse. And so this is something that we're really not psychologically prepared to do. But if it's part of the divine plan, it's going to happen regardless of who wants it to happen or who doesn't, and who has the most interest in holding it back.
Yeah, I think that is what is now happening, and it becomes very obvious in the Arabic world more than anywhere else at this moment. At the same time, as I do want to point out that people have, you know, we have come to realize in general that we're all connected and so forth. But I think we at this point we have to realize something more. We have to realize that the process that goes on in the Arabic world is the same process as we are in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just that we are connected, but we're part mm-hmm. of the same process.
Mm-hmm.
And in the sense, they are in the forefront. There is a lot of aspect of the Islamic tradition that I may react to personally, the kind of cultural traditions and so forth. But at the same time, it is really ultimately the heart of Islam is the collective surrender to the divine. That's
mm-hmm.
really what it means. And the it's in there in the Quran as you quoted the idea that at the end of time no soul shall control another soul. And so I think this is what we're seeing in that world. That's they're in for the freedom. They're really in for the freedom. And these guys who are jihadists and whatever, they're crazy outliers of the spectrum of people there. The real heart of the matter is they are tired of these monarchs, they're tired of these dictators, and they want freedom, and they don't want anybody else to dominate them. And that's part of this process of the ninth wave, because it's only if we get rid of, I don't know if that's the right word of it, but it's only if we can transcend this whole system of dominance or being dominated that our social relationships have been like, that we can truly surrender to the divine and follow this wave and have a new world be born that is not based on such dominance. And here, you know, I don't think dominance, it doesn't look the same way, but there's a million ways that dominance is just exerted through our economic mechanism.
And we
are millions of people that are not necessarily doing what we don't want to do, because we are dominated by an economic system. And so dominance as such to other people is something we become used to for 5,000 years, and this way we'll break it up, and it also puts a new responsibility on us to sort of act. It will mean there's no one to blame.
Yes.
You know, if there's nobody dominating you, there's no one to blame. That's just me. Whatever I do wrong, that's I did it. And and then again, and coming back to the same theme, how do you deal with this in such a chaotic world? Well, you have to find the ways of surrendering to the divine and establish your own relationship to the divine, so that you get that guidance, and maybe you won't. You know, we're all seeking our ways to find that relationship, and maybe it won't work the first time, but you know, eventually we'll develop it.
A lot of people talk about nature, Earth, or Gaia Sophia being alive and conscious, and that she is also moving, as are the other planets, shifting into higher frequencies. And what's your feeling about our planet itself uniting with humanity during this wave of unity consciousness? Seem to have been so disconnected from her, and treating her so poorly, and yet the animals are all connected. They know when earthquakes will happen, and do you see us joining the collective telepathically and uniting also with the planet and with the cosmos? I mean, is this all going to be an expansion of non-local consciousness, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's. I think these are all aspects of the same thing, really. I think we've each of these waves brings a certain filter to our mind, these filters have tended to separate us from the divine, and from the cosmos, and the earth, and our fellow human beings, and from the animals, and from the plants, and all of these things. Ultimately, they are all one. They come out of one perception, one filter that is coming, and as that filter breaks down, and disappears, which I believe is what the ninth wave is all about, then we will see alternations, changes in all of these relationships. It comes with a, it's just one, we'll see that as we heal our relationship to the divine and are able to get direct guidance, we will find that that will affect also how we relate to the animals, to the plants, to the earth, and so forth. And so it's all connected as far as I can tell.
Good. Now, I know everybody's going to be wondering, because this is something that we can't look into because things are shifting so rapidly. I can't hardly keep up with my own day. But I know a lot of people will be wondering what might things look like after October 28th, 2011 and beyond. Is this going to be a stable period after all of these shifts occur?
Yeah, it's naturally we do wonder about that, and naturally we do that. My sense is that both yes and no. On one level, let me backtrack a little bit, that each of these waves are in which develop 13 energies has a direction. It's not just a wave, but it's also in the Mayan tradition, it's also a process from seed to mature fruit. So what this means is that we've all been affected by these directed waves. And whenever there's been shifts in these waves, our own, we're all a little bit shaken up, I guess. Mm-hmm. And our old ways of being do not quite apply whenever there's been a shift. And so the first thing I like to say is that, you know, you hear a lot of people saying that that there is a shift coming. And my view is more or less opposite to that. Because from my studies of the Mayan calendar, I find that shifts have been going on forever in this universe. And it's the shifts in the cosmic field that has driven all of evolution, all of the paradigm shifts, all of the changes that we've been part of. So if anything, when all these nine waves are sort of coming to their completion and fulfilling the plan, in a certain sense, I think it's the end to the shifts, which to me is just good news. Oh, you know, finally maybe I won't be completely every other day shaken out of my balance.
Right.
And that's really, to me, that's really the why I think truly that world holds an authentic promise of eternal peace. Because what really has created all the violence and warfares and so forth in the history of humanity are these shifts. When there have been shifts in the cosmos, it manifests down among the human beings as some kind of a shift in the relationships of power. And whenever there is such a shift, then somebody will take it out on another and establish a new kind of dominance.
Yes.
But if these shifts are coming to an end, then we will... I think that holds a lot of promise to me, but at the same time, I'm grappling with this. At the same time, I think the waves may actually just be going on, and that we are now, what we really need to do is learn to live with these waves. What I'm saying may sound a little bit paradoxical, and which is not to surprise us, because I think reality at that point will be very, very different from what it is now. So it's no wonder that I'm grappling with the question that you're saying. But ultimately, I think what will happen is that unity consciousness, which is the purpose of the ninth wave, to bring to people a new field through which we perceive reality, will be established. And as that happens, there is a completely new stage for life, a completely new, a promise of peace and a relationship with the earth, in which we're all one, basically. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's not. I don't think it will be a dead reality for that reason. Something will continue to go on, as you can hear, my answer is not complete, and I
think that's okay. I don't think anybody has a complete answer.
But
it makes sense that if we believe that the spirit or soul continues after the body drops, it just makes sense that there will be something that will continue, and it just won't be what it was. And this is an evolutionary and an unprecedented leap in which the game board that we've been on for so long is simply coming to an end. And there may be a new game, right? Or there may be, we may be creating our own. We don't know yet, do we?
So,
but it won't be this. Whatever this was, it was a Monopoly game, and you can only play Monopoly so long, a few days, a week. And then, eventually somebody gets all the hotels, and you land on one, and it's over. And it seems like our financial system has done that. I mean, they're just... I think you were right in calling the 2008 collapse, but I think that the powers that be patched things up and postponed it, which would have to do with our collective consciousness not being ready for the collapse. So it would make sense, because it has to happen, that the old good has to be taken away, that would happen at some point in the destruction period of this ninth wave. It's inevitable.
Yes. Absolutely.
No.
Well said.
Okay.
And the Monopoly metaphor is a great metaphor. At some point, somebody has sold the hotels, and I'm sure there's somebody who has sold the hotels now.
we're blasted with ads and paper ads that we get in the mail. Where are the trees going to come from? I mean, we're just so out of balance that... it simply cannot go on. There will be a point where just a day will come and everything will just grind to a halt. Many diamond-studded Mercedes sports cars can the sheiks in other countries have in their stables with Rolls-Royces, and we're inundated with who has the most fabulous house and this and that. And all of that is just so shallow and materialistic, it just has to go.
Yes. Well said.
Oh, thank you. I have another question. I didn't mean to go off on a tangent there. I wanted to get you to share the most of the time, but I know that you and Barbara Henklow are close, and I follow her work very closely.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if her work on the nine dimensions might tie into the ninth wave and nine levels somehow.
Well, it's probably something you would have to ask her about.
Okay.
I have actually gone through her process of You know, she has a process with the nine dimensions. And to me, that was really an experiential thing.
Oh,
and
okay.
I would not be able, and I don't know if she would be either, to sort of really sort it out intellectually what is happening. Because the Mayan calendar system of the ninth wave is really truly a very intellectual system. It can be grasped through the logical mind. But it would have to be asked to her. I could not.
Okay.
I'm not even sure what a dimension is.
The next time she comes on the show, I'll do that. I don't want to take up time with a question that doesn't pertain to something that we, you know, that is your area, that we're all concerned with now. One of the things that I was wondering is that there's with this acceleration of 20 times the frequency every 18 to 20 days, I guess it is.
18, is
that going to be similar to a carousel ride where it starts out slowly and you're on the horses and it's spinning around and then it goes faster and faster? And then you get off the horse and start moving towards the center, and you're just literally spinning around, and the people at the end are getting thrown off the carousel. Will many people choose to leave the planet, kind of like, I can't deal with these frequencies, I'm going to take myself out? And what happens to the bad guys, you know, the ones that have no conscience, that have been reaping so much destruction on the planet? Are they equally involved in this wave, or those are things that I'm just wondering about.
Yeah, well, that's a good question, and certainly from, you know, I cannot give any certain answer from the Mayan calendar, but I think, you know, there's many in the monotheistic religions. There is the concept of a judgment day. And the same, you know, if you go to the Hopi prophecy, they don't use that word. They say the great purification, which is now. This is the ninth wave. And now, is it possible? The question is really, is it possible for everyone to sort of align with these new energies and ride them and sort of... I cannot tell. I just consider it very unlikely that everyone will. I think it is that many people actually will be thrown off the carousel That's my guess. If I were to guess honestly, I would think the majority of people will be doing that. But I don't know that at all.
Yeah.
And it's just a suspicion. It just seems so many people are so entrenched in their old ways, so unable to connect with the energies of the divine that are coming in, and not knowing, you know, start to cultivate a new way of being in this short period of time if they've had no openness to it previously. It sounds very difficult. So
yeah.
that is my guess would be it is probably like many people will not be able to spin at the carousel in this way.
Okay, well that makes sense to me. So those of us who are aligning with this energy, what are, and I consider it kind of an inner plane takeoff, you know, that the outside is the metaphor, and even we ourselves as bodies and beings or individual fragments of consciousness are living metaphors for something else. How can we align more closely? What are some of the qualities that we need to really shift into to to really empower ourselves and other people and move out of this fragmentation that we're so accustomed to and move into the vastness of, you know, collective consciousness.
Yes, yes. So I think the answer to that is partly individual and partly collective. And what we are doing today is to create a series of events, global events, that are to serve for collectively bringing people together in this process. The website for this is called treeoflifecelebration.com. And I can tell you the outline as it stands right now, which is that we will have global events taking place on the midpoints of the peaks in this wave. And so we've already passed the first day, which is the first peak. And the event we had just to start it was an event where, in collaboration with a group called Do As One, where everyone was breathing together. And it's a very basic way of sort of connecting with people. Now, what will happen at the midpoint of the second day, which happens April 23rd, 24th, is that we'll have another global event day where people will be invited to connect, to call in, and we'll use the most the technology or the internet and so forth. And the theme of that particular event will be healing the relationship to the divine. And it will be led by people from the so-called oneness movement, which is a spiritual movement that is global. And so, but the overall is that theme. Now, the third peak, which is May 28th, 29th, will add to that. And the theme will be creating the earth or recreating the earth as a sacred space. And that will include many of the indigenous peoples of the world. So that, and it may probably like creating the earth again as a medicine wheel, as the Native American tradition talks about. But you know, many other traditions, they have the idea of the four directions. They're all sacred, all reflecting different impulses, different energies from the divine. And then the next step happens on July 3rd, 4th, and that's the midpoint of the whole ninth wave. And then building on what has been accomplished on these particular points in time, we will then be part of something called the Jerusalem Hug, which is something that, you know, it came out of the beginning was in 2007 when I had called for this global event called the Breakthrough Celebration based on the Mayan calendar. But in this case, it may sound like it's an exclusive group, but what, you know, what I can do and what other people can do is to call for the participation in these events. And but what will happen is that a group of people, maybe a few thousand, maybe much more, will be encircling the old city of Jerusalem, holding hands, and you know, just pouring love into this center of divisions that it's been for a long time. You know, it's like Jerusalem is the it's the Berlin of the religions, if you like.
Yes, it's, yeah.
Yeah, and But then, you know, together with these people that maybe have the opportunity to go to Jerusalem, what was created, this global medicine wheel, this sacred space that came out of the previous wave, will then be there as a backup. So, you know, wherever you are, you can create your own circle, and you can all focus on this unity that we want to experience and pour into all over the world, basically, but with a special focus on this location, which is sort of, it's been one of the most intransigent conflict points in the world for decades or centuries. And so these are events in three steps. And I don't think that, what should I say? For the individual in this time, we will also have to find these ways of sort of working with ourselves individually in order to be able to leave the past, or be able to let go, and all the psychological work we may need to do that, as well as to find the tools to get the guidance from the divine, as we talked about earlier. And when it comes to these things, I don't want to sell anything. I don't want to say this is the right way. But these things are out there. I mean, they are absolutely out there. It's just a matter that we should just accept the fact that now things are so changing that we will have to adjust ourselves. We'll have to work through whatever blocks us from participating as individuals in this wave. And then what I'll be doing together with many others is to then continue to work with global events, truly global, to really give them the feeling for those that want to surf with the wave, that want to be part in a constructive way of this transformation, that they feel they have something to hold on to, that they're not the only one, and that there has to be both components. Both, each one of us will have to find the ways of working with ourselves to leave the past, to be guided by the divine as individuals. But then we'll also have to see that, you know, if this is about harmonizing relationships in the world, it's not enough to just work with ourselves. Harmonizing, it implies a harmonization of relationships. And that means the relationships on the largest, broadest possible scale. And that implies then collective events. And certainly, I hope others will come up with other things as well, but that this is a little bit of what is happening and where people, you know, I don't think anybody can say they were not aware of the changes or where do I go or something like that, because it's not, you know, we all have to wake up to the fact that it's up to us. There will be no one to blame, and we can make the choice right now, and then we find the means we seek, and you will find.
Yes, 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 and I love what you're doing. This is really so empowering, and I know that many leaders in the light-working areas are just worn out and tired, and they have their own websites, and they've been doing their own work all these years, and it just seems that it's such a wonderful time for people to just let go and join together if they want to, if they choose to, and work in unity, you know, and it's just such a perfect time for us to let go of our individual plans and just, you know, allow the empowerment of a group to really affect the whole, and that will possibly be like the 100th monkey event.
Yeah.
Which is so necessary. Maybe the rest will get it when, you know, at some point during this ninth wave, it'll probably have to happen or not.
Yeah.
Do you have events, do you have events scheduled for all of the midpoints? For instance, I'm just thinking of August 26th and 27th, which happens to be destruction.
Yes. No.
Are you going to Wall Street?
Right. Right. No. It's only up to the midpoint that things are scheduled. But But then what will also happen and which will be advertised on this particular website, treeoflifecelebration.com, is that there will be, in the other points in time that are shifts in the wave, there will be, you know, various kinds of calls and meditations and things like that, which are more about the individual, more about intellectual understanding, but the events of which are meant to be experiential and collective, they are set at the midpoints of the days. And I do expect that there is some, how shall I say, in thinking of this, we are still at the very early stage of the wave. And so it means that we are still coming in designing these things pretty much from our previous level, the eighth wave consciousness. And I do believe that there is a new component coming in. That's in the nature of these waves, if there wasn't any. And at least me personally, I can't quite see that. I can not quite fathom that new aspect. And so, that's why it's only planned out to the midpoint in early July. And then, you know, it may take another form the way we continue, because some new component is properly introduced by the divine that will help guide us in the right direction from that point.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, these are all exciting things that are being brought forth, and of course, everything that we do requires that we learn how to be in the moment and in this now, because that's We're moving towards a point where that's all that will be.
Yes. Yes.
However that occurs, whether we go through a black hole or shift on into another dimension, I don't know.
Yes.
Well, Carl, before we're not quite out of time yet, but I want to make sure that you mention all of your websites. Yours and the Tree of Life and Mayan Magics, I think, is one that you are also connected with.
Yeah. Yes, right. There are a couple of websites I'd like to mention especially. My own Kalleman.com, Kalleman.com, which is, you know, which is where I post my articles and so forth. And there is also the chance you can be on my email list, and you'll get articles sent regularly. Not regularly, that's not the word. When something happens.
When you read, and they're wonderful articles. I follow them just closely. I mean, your writing is just so eloquent and so perfect. You know, I love to read what you have to say, so I just thank you for doing that for all of us.
Thank you.
And then there were a couple of other sites, Tree of Life, I think.
Yes. Yes. So then there's also the MayanMagics.com, which was created by Ian Langold, who promoted my work, and he passed away in 2005, but his webmaster, Mike Shore, is a wonderful man and very beautiful person, and he has continued very well with this big site with all kinds of articles. And then there is Mayan Calendar Portal by Birgitte Racine, who also's made an amazing job in creating a very beautiful site that holds a lot of. It's probably a little bit broader in its or more diverse, but it holds connections to many different websites around the world about the Mayan calendar. I should also mention a very high quality website, 4-ahau.com. It's a new website, and it's created by a Frenchman, Pierre Le Joyeux, who has, it's in both English and French, but it just has a very high quality of content. But then, so these are sort of more for people that want to get educated about it. When it comes to the healing of the divine,
Carl, we've literally run out of time, and we are now over. So I want to thank you for coming back, and I want to thank Terry at Mayan Magics for all her help and support. And I thank you immensely for all of the wonderful things that you shared with us today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it, and I liked your metaphors.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye, everybody.